Hello, this is Lewis.
And this is Ian.
And welcome to 101 Films You Should Have Seen.
Probably.
Another slice of film fun on a Thursday.
Delicious.
Did you see that alliteration there?
Yum, yum, yum,
yum. Yum, yum, yum.
Well, can I have an extra large slice, please, Lewis?
No.
Oh, okay.
Go to the back of the queue, insolent boy.
Have you seen any films this week?
I have, yes. I watched Trust.
Trust?
Which is...
Trust?
Yeah, Trust.
What's that?
I'm surprised you haven't heard of a trust.
Really?
Yeah. No, it's...
Are you genuinely surprised that you're taking
a look
there?
No, I'm not.
It's, okay.
1990 film by Hal Hartley.
Okay. Yeah.
Jason recommended it. It was alright.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
What was it about?
It was about a pregnant teenager. who accidentally kills her dad in the beginning of the sequence. And, you know, he goes...
Unless he comes back as a funky zombie. Or what was that Michael Keaton film where the guy, he dies at the beginning, comes back as a snowman?
Is it Jack Frost?
Jack Frost! Is it a precursor to Jack Frost?
You're way off. Oh. Way off. There's a lot of philosophical musings. And...
But there's a fair amount of philosophy in Jack Frost.
Yeah.
So a snowman speaks. It's inhabited by the spirit of a dad.
Right. That sounds awful.
I watched a film. Well, I saw most of a film. On Saturday, I stayed inside and watched most of the Dam Busters.
Oh.
You can't get much more of a kind of weekend sitting around the house, just having the TV on, and suddenly you're watching the Dam Busters. It's that kind of film.
It is. It's a good film. I saw the Dam Busters fly past as well. Did you see that on the TV?
No.
They did a fly past to celebrate.
Yeah, because it was the anniversary. That's what I was showing. Because
It
was the anniversary on Sunday, wasn't
That's
it?
Right, yeah.
On the 19th. Tell you what, it is quite shocking. Is the name of the dog? You kind of forget it until we just suddenly start shouting it out. You're like, oh my god!
It's so weird. We can't even mention it on the
podcast. No, we can't. It is shocking, though, isn't it?
Wow.
Mm.
Well, what very different films we watched. Weekend.
Indeed.
Me, indie film from 1990. You,
the Dam Busters.
The Dam Busters. A rollicking good WW2 ride.
So this week, Lewis.
This week we are zipping over to Turkey for Once Upon a Time in Anatolia.
Yes.
Turkish film.
It isn't our first Turkish film.
Our first Turkish, probably our only one.
Yeah, probably going
to
be our last. To be fair,
I can't think of many others.
No,
that are particularly famous. Unless someone wants to recommend some great Turkish films.
Well, this film was recommended by
Mick Robson,
your pal,
an old buddy of mine,
an old
buddy. He recommended this over a year ago.
Oh,
finally got round to watching it. Sorry, Nick.
Yeah, still we watched it.
I think it's amazing. I absolutely love this film.
I found it quite boring. Oh. It's 2.5 hours long. Over 2.5 hours long, isn't it?
It's a good 2.5 hours.
Well,
before we get into this, what's the pitch?
Okay. It's when you lose your phone or your keys and you're just going around to room, looking this, or going through drawer to drawer, trying to look for it, and you can't find it. And then right at the end, it's kind of the last place you were looking, it's there. It's like that, but with a dead body.
Right.
In the countryside of Turkey.
Yes, I see where you're coming from there. Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, it's a bit like, you know, you go to the pub, leave your phone somewhere, really drunk, and then just can't remember where it is. But instead of a phone,
it's your dead brother.
You've murdered someone.
You've murdered your brother.
You've murdered your brother, and he's in a grave. That's pretty much it. They're driving around
They drive around for so long, don't they?
And this murderer is confessed, but he can't remember where he's buried the body, so they're... Because he was drunk at the time, and they're kind of going around trying to find this body, and it's this kind of caravan of three cars, you know, with the prosecutor, the chief of police, some diggers, some soldiers, you know, they're all driving around in the middle of the night, nothing much happens. I'll be honest.
No, nothing much happens
you
at all.
You shouldn't expect anything to happen. Nothing really does happen for the whole film. It's more just a study of the characters and you kind of the time you spend with them and you get to know them a bit better.
Mm.
See, I can see you're going to... I can see you're there. You're gearing up to torpedo this podcast.
No. Do you know what? It wasn't bad. I just found it boring. It was just long and boring.
See,
and There were some interesting moments, as you say, some interesting character moments. A couple of bits of it. A different way to go, or that's got my attention. But then there were just long stretches where I'm just like, nothing is happening.
Mm. Do you know what? I was gripped by this film. Absolutely gripped. I couldn't stop watching it. You know,
when they get to the village, they just have a stop. They have a break. They pause for a big break, mm-hmm. and they have some food in the village. And I remember just thinking, there's like an hour and a half left of this. And nothing has really happened.
To be fair, nothing much happens in the next hour and a half.
No.
Oh. But that's not the point, though. It's an absolutely beautifully shot film. Really stunningly shot. And it just really concentrates on the lives of each of these characters, just eking out little bits. You find out a little bit more and more about them each time, you know, every time they talk. And I just find it endlessly fascinating.
Yeah, I didn't. I mean, yeah, and also I watched this in what I would say is my prime film watching situation, whereas that I was ironing.
In your pants.
Yeah, in my neck. I was ironing, which means I'm totally focused on the film. Like, yeah. I've just got to look. I had a big load and loads of shirts to iron.
Well, you're not totally focused because you're ironing.
No, but it's there, you know, like, and I'm not wandering around. I'm not fiddling with my phone because I've got something to do with my hands. And all my attention, more or less, other than just, yeah, occasionally glancing down at my shirt, is on the film. And normally that means I can get through any film and go, oh, yeah, that was great. Yeah, that was a good distraction. And it just meant my ironing just felt even longer than it normally does. And those of you who know me know that I'm not a quick ironer.
Oh, God, you're painfully slow watching your iron.
So, yeah.
I'm watching you iron thinking, God, just give it here. I could get it done in half the time. Jesus Christ.
I just take my time, make sure it's done properly. But, oh, my God. As I say, there are moments I just, if you knocked an hour off, then I would say, okay, yeah, that was an interesting film. But
that's not the point. It's meant to be like it's just an intimate portrait of.
Well, I reckon you are going to have to do a lot of the talking in this podcast. Because I think most of it would just be going,
I watched this film in probably better circumstances than you, because I watched it in a cottage in Cornwall in the middle of nowhere.
No, I disagree.
Being belligerent now, but you know, there was nothing. I was in that situation, right? There's nothing
else
to do.
You'd killed your brother.
I killed someone. I forgot where I buried them. I was driving around. I was exhausted. I was in the middle of nowhere. I was in that frame of mind. You know, the wilderness. You know, the kind of the small groups of close knit communities. You know,
I think. Well, two things. Firstly, I think you've picked this because it's another foreign language film and you just enjoy me mispronouncing all the names. That's the one thing I was thinking of as I was watching it. It's like, he's just done this because there's so many complicated names that I won't remember. And I'm just going to make a fool of myself as I try and say them. Actors like Mohamed Uzuna,
yeah,
who plays Dr. Kamal. Is it Kamal or Simal? See? First person, and I can't pronounce either the actor's name or the character's name.
I think it's Kamal. I think it's Kamal. And there's Yilmaz Erdogan.
Yes,
who
yes.
plays Commissar Nachi. Nachi! Nachi! There's a great bit where the prosecutor keeps saying Nachi.
Yes, he does do that a lot.
He's trying to beat up this prisoner. He's like, Nachi! Yeah. Get off him.
Yes, he does do that. And the second reason I think you picked this is just, you know, it's a arty Turkish film. That you're going to impress girls with by saying that you like. Did your arm creep around your lady's shoulder as you watched this in Cornwall with her? Oh, I'm really enjoying this because I'm very clever.
Yeah, she's well impressed that I like watching RT foreign language films.
She is.
The night before we watched Van Helsing, though. You know.
God.
It's ups and downs.
Was that her choice?
It's ups and downs. Well, you know. I really love this film. Absolutely love the film. It just had me gripped. Just because of the landscape for a start is stunning.
Mm.
And actually, before we get into this, let's do the trivia quiz. Okay. Then we can get really stuck in.
Okay.
Trivia quiz. Trivia quiz. Trivia quiz.
Trivia quiz.
All right. Question one. Now, I had a bit of trouble finding out facts about this film. There's very little written about it.
Yeah.
As you may well have
found.
As
I know, yes.
So some of my questions may veer off the point of the film slightly.
Okay.
Just to warn you.
Yeah, so do mine.
Okay, question one. This film won the Grand Prix at Cannes.
Wow, it's a racing car.
Yes. Yes, they no. Oh, you're confused. Sorry,
I'm just chuckling at my own terrible lame joke. Carry on. Start again.
I'll start again.
Question one.
Question one. This film won the Grand Prix at Cannes in 2011. What British comedy film won the Grand Prix prize back in 1983?
In 1983?
1983. British comedy film, 1983. won the Grand Prix, which is essentially the second prize at Cannes. The Palme d'Or being the first.
1983, British comedy.
Yeah.
A film.
Those are the criteria.
Not yeah. a racing car.
No.
Was it one of the Monty Python films?
Yes. Which one?
You've got Life of Brian, you've got The Holy Grail, and of course you've got Meaning of Life. Well, it's a third. I've got a third of a chance of getting this right. I'm going to go for Life of Brian.
No.
Was it The Meaning of Life?
It was Meaning of Life. That was it. Life of Brian was 1980, I think it was, or 1979.
Oh, well.
Never mind. Close. I'll give you half a point for that. You got Monty
Thank
Python.
Thank you. I got Monty Python. That's quite a leap.
Well, you know. Question two. What was the previous name of Istanbul? This is veering way off. Way off the subject of the film. But it was shot in Turkey, so what was the previous name of Istanbul?
Okay, well, it had two previous names.
Right, well, the most recent one.
It was originally Byzantium, but then it was Constantinople.
All right, show off. I only asked you for one.
Can I get double points, sir?
No, you can't.
Can I get a bonus point for knowing
you can
two
have no points,
points
for being a shell? Yes, it was Constantinople. And question three, Constantinople.
Constantinople.
No, it's Constantinople. No, it's Istanbul. It's Constantinople.
Who sung that song?
I
don't know.
Noel Coward? Anyway, Constantinople has been the capital of four different empires.
Okay.
Fact fans.
Right.
Name two of them.
Right, well, the Byzantium Empire.
Yes.
And the Ottoman Empire?
Yes.
There we go. And can I get the other two? Was it the Holy Roman Empire?
It was the Roman Empire, yep. That's
yep.
right.
And
under Constantine, hence
yes.
the name.
And I don't know the other one.
The other one was the Latin Empire.
The Latin Empire?
Which no one's ever heard of. Come on, Latin Empire. Right, whatever.
All right, my three questions. Question one. There is one line which kind of stood out a little bit, which made me sort of laugh, and I wonder if you noticed as well. There's one point where the commissioner is just slapping the prisoner around the face, and yes. the prosecutor says,
Nachi!
What are you doing? You're gonna, don't do that. How are we gonna, what would the EU think of this? Because, of course, at the time, Turkey was thinking or hoping to join the EU.
Still is.
What country is due to join the EU in July of this year?
Oh, is it Romania?
It isn't. Romania and Bulgaria have officially joined. They're just they're not full members yet.
Okay.
It's actually Croatia is going to join this
Croatia.
Year.
Croatia.
There you go.
Oh, there we go. Have you been to Croatia?
I have. Yeah. I had a miserable holiday. Question two. The prosecutor particularly enjoys part of his meal, which is gifted to him by the mayor. Uh-huh. And he enjoys it so much, he asks to take a jar of it away with him.
Oh, yeah.
What is it?
Cheeky bugger. Is it honey?
It is indeed honey,
oh,
correct.
Oh, yes.
And my last question, you're sure you'll get this one. At the end, the prosecutor is describing the body, and he mentions that the body looks like someone. What? It's an actor. What actor was it?
Oh.
And then people say the prosecutor looks like him. And he's like, no. Oh, and then kind of preens himself slightly.
Is it Daniel Day-Lewis?
It isn't Daniel Day-Lewis.
Oh,
it's
no.
Clark Gable.
Clark Gable, that was it.
Unfortunately, only one out of three there, Lewis.
Oh, that's a shame. That's a shame. Yeah, that is pretty funny, that bit. He completely deadpans it as well, doesn't he?
Yeah,
it's
I know.
Very funny. Oh, yeah. Speaking of comedy, actually, there's been a couple of funny moments in this film.
Yeah, it's definitely got some lighter moments.
Yeah, there's a great bit when they find the body and they... Spoiler, they find the body.
Yeah, yeah. That is a kind of spoiler, though. So,
kind of spoiler.
Yeah. Oh, well, not to worry.
Well, whatever.
Who's really going to watch this film, let's be honest?
It's a good film. Watch it. Dignorian. But yeah, they find the body and they're kind of like just taking it away to the van. So they're just kind of trying to work out the best way to carry the body. It's
And half the body's sort of found tied up, and they react with disgust at this. And the reason why he's tied up is because they had to fit him in the car. And then they're like, oh, all right, what are we going to do now? Maybe we have to tie him back up again. I don't know. A lot of those moments, and other moments where they're kind of in the car discussing their wives or a party they went to, had a kind of Tarantino-esque feel to them.
I definitely agree. There's a lot of discussion about really tiny kind of minutiae of life, really inconsequential
food
things.
Relationships. There's a long discussion about a particular type of yogurt that one character's had.
It goes on forever.
They're like, no, I've not had it before. That's buffalo yogurt. It's like, no, that's not buffalo yogurt. I know what buffalo yogurt is. And things like that I quite enjoyed.
There's a lot of that kind of stuff, they're talking about stuff, but there's a kind of subtext all the way through it. Like, there's a bit where one of the guys is trying to say the best way to get to the next village where they think this kind of town is. And another guy's kind of saying, we should go this other way, and it's up to the prosecutor to decide which one to go with. There's kind of all this politics, but what they're saying isn't really important. It's the way other people perceive it. And there's a lot of one-upmanship. There's a clear hierarchy in the people that are out on this kind of journey, with the doctor and the prosecutor kind of at the top, kind of the chief of police falling somewhere in the middle, and then the others further down. And there's a constant kind of like bickering in the conversation to try and actually come out on top at all times.
It was an interesting glimpse of everyday Turkey, not that you can extrapolate a huge amount from just one film about some people driving around looking for a dead body, an entire society, but one, it's outside of Istanbul, and I think a little bit like Paris is France and London is England, it's easy just to think, oh, Turkey is Istanbul, when in fact there's an entire country outside it. And I think, doesn't Anatolia, it actually means, it sort of means land to the east, but it's also, I think, isn't it sort of almost slang for just everywhere but Istanbul, the rest of Turkey?
Oh, okay.
So I read somewhere.
It certainly means kind of that mainland chunk.
Yeah.
Kind of Asia Minor.
So, east of Istanbul, because Istanbul's right on the edge, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
So, yes, I guess it does mean that. But, it kind of gives a glimpse of how the police force functions, the kind of, as you say, the politics, the little issues that press on ordinary people.
Yeah. There's a lot of talk of, like, kind of bribes and under the table kind of things. The chief of police is pressing the doctor to get a kind of prescription for his wife, just by the by, or can you sign off these drugs for me, all this kind of stuff. And later on, one of the mayor of one of the towns is trying to press them for money to build a morgue.
Yeah.
And then another one of, even the coroner is trying to get some money for new power source.
It is interesting,
And there's that constant thing. It's like everyone's kind of, trying to beat the system or barter.
Exactly. Everyone's trying to bend the system to favour their little fiefdom or their little area. It was interesting in that way. And that the sequence with the mayor sort of talking about the issues facing the village, the fact it's an ageing population and most people leave, and only kind of old men and women are left behind.
There's also the kind of subtext that he might just be a massive liar. The prosecutors certainly seem to think that he just wanted the money to line his own pockets, and that it wouldn't actually end up at the morgue at all. There's all this kind of subtext that was going on. Also, speaking of that part with the mayor in the middle. His daughter. I mean, I really love that scene. There's a bit where there's a power
cut.
The mayor's daughter. There was a power cut, and suddenly the mayor's daughter emerges in candlelight, doesn't say a word, and just goes around to each of the men in turn, like giving them a drink. And they each kind of stare in fascination at her, in the candlelight, because she's stunningly beautiful.
Yeah.
And they didn't really expect this in the middle of nowhere. And just watching each of the men's reactions to it, I thought that was such a brilliant, brilliant scene, beautifully filmed.
It actually really reminded me of, slightly bizarrely, of a few years ago, I went on holiday with a couple of friends of ours, Amy and Jason, to Lanzarote.
Oh, right, yeah.
Stayed in the north part of the island, which is the completely untouristy part of the island, in a small fishing village, and it was a very pleasant holiday.
You weren't drinking buckets of margarita?
No, it was a tiny little fishing village. We stayed in like this little eco-resort. Realise I'm sounding painfully middle class as
you
I describe this.
I may have to
put
you down.
One evening, we just decided there was a kind of huge, well, essentially like a valley behind us, and we were like, oh, let's just walk up there and see if we can see the sunset on the other side. So, like all these things, it was a little bit longer than it took us a little bit longer than we thought. We got right to the top and sort of had a glass of fizz at the top and had some food, and it was very pleasant. Then we walked back down, but the thing is, we didn't realize there's no streetlights on this long trail. For about an hour and a half, we just walked in the pitch black along this road, just in the middle of nowhere. And it was so strange. Sometimes you go abroad and you don't really ever really feel like you're abroad. But that felt like I was completely out in the middle of nowhere. And suddenly there was that kind of like, we're three stupid English people who've wandered off into the middle of the night.
And this is how horror films start.
Well, there was one really terrifying moment. You would be walking along and then suddenly you hear a car, and we would quickly jump to one side, and these cars would fly down, because essentially like tiny country roads. So they don't expect anyone to be on them. I don't think anyone would be stupid enough to be walking along them
without a torch in the middle of the night.
Anyway, so we did have a torch, but tiny little torch. Anyway, so we jumped out of the way. One car kind of saw it going, zoomed past us, and we jumped out of the way. And we saw the kind of car go sort of so far down and then just stop. And we're like, why is it just stopped there? It just sort of stopped there. And we're like, oh no, what's going to happen? And then it kind of reversed and then went back up towards us. We're like, oh no.
Oh, they'd stopped to get the chainsaw out of the boot.
Yeah, exactly. And then it flew past us, and we were like, right, okay, let's really walk past. And then when we got to the town, we're like, very odd, very scary.
Yeah, well, that's the same with this film. I mean, the thing that really stands out about it is the landscape. It's just amazingly shot, kind of these huge, wide panoramas of just nothing, absolutely nothing. There's a great shot near the beginning where it's just kind of black. You can just about see the outline of the hills in the background. And then this tiny pinprick of light emerges from the left. And it just holds that shot for ages and ages, and these pinpricks of light just become cars and eventually kind of pull up in the foreground. Some people get out, you can kind of hear vague voices, they shuffle around a bit and then get back in the cars and disappear. And it just holds that shot for ages, just showing the emptiness of the whole thing, you know, that there really is absolutely nothing around at all except these guys, you know, this tiny little point of light.
Yeah, the director seems to be, and we should say that actually the director is a guy called Lewis. You can do this.
Nuri Bilge. I think it's Bilge.
Bilge
Ceylan.
Ceylan. Okay.
I can't say Ceylan. It's really embarrassing. Hope he's not listening to this.
No, hopefully not. He seems to be a fan of having shots where you're not quite sure what it is, and slowly it emerges what it actually is. Like the first shot is of a kind of steamed up window, where you just hear muffled voices, and slowly the scene kind of fades away, and you see the actual characters.
Yeah.
And you say then the pinpricks of light emerging.
I mean, there's a lot of scenes where, you know, it's just a lot of just establishing shots where it's just, you know, just a close-up on a flock of birds or a postbox or just something, you know, something random. But it kind of works. It really, there's a kind of bleakness, but also familiarity about the whole thing. I really, really enjoyed kind of just watching it, just taking it all in.
Well, one thing I did enjoy was seeing all the amazing moustaches that the men had.
There are some good moustaches there, aren't there, right? Yeah, I mean, I felt sorry for Nachi. He didn't have a moustache. I was like, oh, maybe can't he grow one?
Prosecutor Nusret, he's got an incredible, he's got a very...
you can see how he rose
lovely
to be
moustache.
Prosecutor.
Indeed, with that kind of moustache.
He's got an astonishing moustache.
The victim has a quite a shocking moustache.
That's true. They've all got moustaches, really.
Pretty much, yeah. And is it Arab?
Arab, yeah. I think that's his nickname, isn't it?
Yeah. Has he got a moustache? I'm not sure.
Yes,
he's got
a little moustache.
Like a little kind of pencil thin...
There's nothing to write home about.
Spiv moustache.
Yeah, it's not a good looking one. The doctor's probably the most finely groomed out of all of them.
That's true, yeah. He kind of looks the most...
I love a
modern
moustache,
I suppose.
They're coming back, moustaches.
Moustaches.
Yeah.
I always want to call my cat Moustache. I think it's a great name for a cat.
It is a good name
for a cat. No, I'm going to steal that. That's
moustache and beard. Dog called Beard. Cat called Moustache.
Oh, let's get married, Lewis. have a cat and a dog called Beard and Moustache. It would be a great kids' TV program. Beard and Moustache, they solve crimes. It would be lovely. So, would you recommend the film?
Yes.
I'm guessing this is a big resounding yes.
Definitely. Definitely, it's great. Just don't be afraid of the length. And don't expect anything to happen. It's just... it's one of those sort of... It's all about...
Can we have that for the poster? Don't expect anything to happen.
It's just about taking it all in and following the characters. And it does have a really good ending as well, which I can't really spoil, but I really enjoyed the ending.
That, yes, that last shot is quite powerful.
It is, yeah. It sticks in my mind.
But, so for me, this is strictly 3 stars. Was it 1 hour 57 minutes? I just got bored. And there were moments I was, as I said, I was taken by it or I found interesting, but they were moments separated by long stretches of nothing. And I just got tired.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's for everyone, but I do think it's a very good film and I certainly would watch it again. In fact, I'd really love to go and see the cinema, actually. I think it would work very well there.
Well, you can perhaps take a listener to a lucky listener. We'll set up a competition to accompany Lewis to the cinema to watch Once Upon a Time in Antonia.
Ooh, just a private screening.
just the two of you. And then the arm will reach round.
Man or woman.
Doesn't matter. So our sponsor for this week, our secret sponsor.
Yeah, our sponsor for this week. Just to recap, each week we select a secret sponsor from our Twitter follower list.
So follow us if you want a shout out.
Yeah, if you want to bribe us to be a secret sponsor. No, this week it's at Bride of Crapula.
Good name.
All one word. And that website is brideofcrapula.com. My eye immediately fell on this one because they've reviewed Zardos.
Did they like it?
No.
What?
I know. I almost spat my coffee across the room.
I'm not sure we should have Bride of Crapula as our secret sponsor.
Can you believe this? They said it was pompous.
Pompous?
Yeah.
What? Are they sure they saw the same film as us?
Oh, dear.
Pompous?
I know.
Do they just not get it? Is that what it is?
I just think they got it.
How can you dislike a film that has the line... stay with me.
Stay
close to me inside my aura. That's one of the greatest lines in cinema.
You know, we're going to have to do a Zardoz DVD commentary.
We definitely will. I feel like we should have almost like a kind of West Side Story kind of rivalry with Bride of Crapula. just about Zardoz.
What, where we just click at each other?
Was it? Who were the other guys we were trying to start a rivalry with? Crash and Burn Podcast?
Crash and Burn Podcast.
Yeah. Whatever happened to those guys? Are you still out there, Crash and Burn Podcast?
Last time I checked, they were still editing. It is a long job,
indeed. Oh, well, yeah, so bring it on, Bride of Crapula.
Yeah.
Zardoz hating. Come on.
Honestly. By the way, the Zardoz t-shirts will be available soon.
we are producing them.
Not even joking, no, we actually are.
We are producing them. Check out our Twitter feed. The background wallpaper will be the design. take a look. That kind of brings us to the end, I think, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's it.
Can I make a suggestion, Lewis?
Yeah.
Can we do a good film next week?
Oh! Boom!
Damn! Oh, he went there. So,
okay, we'll do a mainstream one for the next one.
All right, okay. Something that lots of people have heard of. Oh, yeah, let's do that.
What, you're saying My Dinner with Andre and Once Upon a Time in Anatolia aren't well known?
It's quite a double bill, isn't it? oh, well.
Anyway, well, if you've got any film recommendations for us, please write to us at 101filmsyoushouldhavesseen@gmail.com.
And follow us on Twitter at 101films and like our Facebook page, also 101films.
And you can look at our blog at 101filmsyoushouldhavesseen.com.
Okay, well, we'll speak to you next week.
Yep, see ya. Bye.
Bye. Victim looks like Clark Gable.